السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن، وقال تعالى: وقليل من عبادي الشكور. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us life to witness this Mubarak and blessed month of Ramadan. We were making dua as guided by our ulama, taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well before the month of Ramadan, we were making dua that, oh Allah, bless us in the month of Rajab, bless us in the month of Sha'ban, and let us reach this Mubarak month of Ramadan. So we can say that Allah has accepted our dua, He's given us life to witness this month of Ramadan. Answered, then this is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person desired something and Allah granted that person his desire. So that is a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not necessarily give us what we desire. Sometimes a person is desiring something that is not good for the person. So although he or she is desiring something, but Allah in His knowledge knows that that particular thing that the person is desiring is harmful for the person. That youngster, he wants that his father buys him a supercar. That 0 to 100, it goes in like 2 seconds. Instead of maybe 300 or 400, what he is desiring. But instead his father buys him one reasonable car to move around. Like, he feels defeated. He feels like, I was desiring that supercar, but instead, you know, I got this ordinary car. But Allah Ta'ala knew that if this youngster had to, who's just learned how to drive, if he has to sit in that supercar, then he won't be able to control the vehicle. And instead, that person can meet up in some major accident and lose his life or hurt himself very severely and ride that whole vehicle off. So Allah Ta'ala in His wisdom doesn't give the person what he desires, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead gives the person something else. But effectively that dua has been accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we learned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a dua is accepted in different ways, that either the person gets exactly what he's asking, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead averts some calamity that was supposed to come upon the person. By virtue of this dua that the person was making, Allah puts away that calamity. Or we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not answer the person's dua at all in this world. And instead, when the person goes in the akhirah and he sees that Allah has blessed him with this bounty and that bounty, and he inquires, on what basis am I receiving this bounty? And it will be reminded to him that, you remember on a certain day at a certain time, you had pleaded to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a certain item or certain thing or whatever it was. So Allah did not give you that, but instead Allah kept this, perhaps this palace in Jannah, in lieu for that dua. Upon this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the person will make this remark, that how I wish that none of my du'as were accepted in this world. I wish that none of them, because now when he will see what he will get in the akhirah, he'll realize that the value of the akhirah is far more than the value of this world. So, if effectively we're saying that sometimes Allah Ta'ala accepts our dua. The person now, mashallah, he was making dua to witness this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Now Allah blessed us with this opportunity. A person was making dua, oh Allah, take me for Umrah. Take me for Hajj. And now Allah Ta'ala accepted that dua and the person went for Hajj. Now, how do we approach that? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. There are very few of my servants who have this quality of shukr. Shukr in English is translated as gratitude. You say the person is grateful. He appreciates what you've given him. If a father gives his son that car in the example, and now that son, how will the father say that his son has appreciated this? That first of all, when the father gives him the car, the son says to his father, oh my father, oh my dad, whoever, whatever he calls his father, Jazakallah khair, I really appreciate that you gave me this car. So firstly, he verbally, with his mouth, he verbally acknowledges his father. He says, I thank you, Jazakallah, shukr, you've given me this car. So verbally he acknowledges his father. But that's the first point of appreciation. Now the father gave the son the car, and the son just takes the car and he moves off. He doesn't even say thank you, he doesn't even say Jazakallah. In fact, he says, well, every father gives his son a car, so you had to do what you did. Nothing did. I was entitled to this car. So automatically we're going to say that the son didn't appreciate his father. He didn't appreciate the gift. But it doesn't stop there. Now if the son takes the car and he starts doing, you know, this donuts on the road, spinning the car, or he's driving recklessly with that vehicle, or he takes the vehicle and he doesn't maintain the vehicle, he doesn't check the oil, doesn't check the water, he doesn't send it for a service. Now there too we will say that the son didn't appreciate. He didn't appreciate the car that his father gave him. He wasn't looking after it. So maintaining that bounty is also a sign of appreciation. That you have to maintain and look after that vehicle because that's a bounty. And if you don't look after that vehicle, it's going to be destroyed. It's going to get damaged. You won't be able to drive that vehicle any longer. So another sign of appreciation is that the person, he maintains it, he looks after it. He values the opportunity that he has with that vehicle. He makes sure that it's clean, it's always shining. In the same way, respected elders and brothers, every bounty that Allah has granted us, firstly, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our tongues. Remember, when somebody does an act of kindness towards you, then we learn in the hadith, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ, that person who cannot acknowledge the favors of others, he cannot thank other people for their kindness upon him, that person can never really thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody did something good to you, then the least you should do is acknowledge that person. Brother, Jazakallah, I need a loan and you gave me this loan. You assisted me, you helped me. So that's the least that the person can do, is to express his appreciation to the person. So that's the first thing, that the person expresses his appreciation. In the same way, our appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Allah, all praise be to you and all gratefulness and gratitude towards you that you blessed us with life in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. You've given us this month of Ramadan. You've made it such that we are alive to witness this month of Ramadan. But it doesn't stop there. You know, they say in English, they say actions speak louder than words. You know, words are easy. The person can express lots of words, but it can't stop at words. You have to put those words into action. Just to prove this point, I'll give you an example. Our late boy, Yunus Patel Sahib, Rahmatullah, used to give. He used to say that this person, he had a dog that he was, very fond of. This was his loyal pet. So this pet of his, this dog, now it was dying. It was on its last few moments. So this person was crying now. He was crying, expressing his regret and remorse that this dog is about to die. So somebody asked him, what's wrong? He said, no, this dog has been loyal to me so many years. It's about to die, so I'm feeling the pain. So say, what's wrong with this dog? Said, it's dying of starvation. Dying of starvation. In the meantime, this person had a basket of food on the side. So my brother, if your dog is dying of starvation, and whose food is that? So this is my food. So why don't you give the dog the food? He said, you see these tears, they're free, but the food is not free. So this is an example where a person can use his tongue. You know, flowery speech, and the person can, you know, express his gratitude and gratefulness by virtue of the tongue. But when it comes to action, now the person is not willing to make those sacrifices. Now in the example of the car, now that youngster, he's to send the car for a service is good few hundred rands, or good few thousand rands. Now he's not willing to make that sacrifice. He didn't budget properly. He went and spent his money on some holiday or some, you know, big dinner or whatever it was. And now he doesn't have any money to spend. Or he's feeling very hard to spend on the vehicle. So now he would say that appreciation before his father, which alhamdulillah at least he did. But he didn't stop there, because he was supposed to now put it into action. He was supposed to be willing to make some sacrifice and spend some money to make sure that the vehicle is maintained. In the same way, respected elders and brothers, our appreciation for any bounty is that we have to make some sacrifices for that particular bounty. Whether it is your own children, whether it is your home, and whether it is our deen, there has to be some willingness to sacrifice. Particularly for us in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. So we have to take advantage of the opportunities in this month of Ramadan. It cannot be that the person just stays away from food and water and that is it. He wants to lead a perfectly normal life as used to be before the month of Ramadan, meaning that the person was committing sins before the month of Ramadan, and now he's still committing sins, the same sins which he committed outside the month of Ramadan, he's still committing those sins during the month of Ramadan. There has to be some sacrifices that we make. That was the whole purpose of the month of Ramadan, to develop that capability, that strength to restrain ourselves from violating the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Just as we restrain ourselves from food and from drink. Now the person normally on a Friday after Jummah, the person would go home and we would have a lovely meal. And maybe the person's wife is gone somewhere, maybe she's gone to her mother's house or whatever it is. So now the person can easily go into the kitchen and open the fridge and have something. But what stops us? What stops us? Allah is watching. And if I eat this food, then my fast will be broken. So that conscious awareness that Allah is watching us helps us restrain ourselves from eating that food. And that's exactly what Ramadan wants to teach us. That just as you were able to restrain yourself from that which was normally halal, out of the month of Ramadan, you should be willing to restrain yourself from breaking any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the most important thing. The greatest emphasis in this month of Ramadan should be abstention of sin. Alhamdulillah, we should make tilawat of Quran Sharif. But if the person is making lots of tilawat of the Quran Sharif, the person, mashallah, is performing his taraweeh, the person is making a lot of dhikrullah in the month of Ramadan, perhaps he's reading paras upon paras, but if that person has not stayed away from violating the command of Allah, we will say he has defeated the very purpose and the objective of the month of Ramadan. As Allah Ta'ala says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The objective of the month of Ramadan was to develop the quality of taqwa. If a person opened up the shop and he ran the shop for 1 year, and after 1 year the accountant said to him, listen, this business is running at a loss. What was the purpose of opening up the business? The objective of opening the business was to make sure that it is profitable. He wants to go home and take a profit. Now if the accountant says that this business is running at a loss, we will say that the person's entire effort for 1 year has been in vain. He's wasted his time. And now he's owing so many people so much of money, he rather close this business down and pay people out. May Allah protect us. It must not be that this entire month of Ramadan passes and the very purpose and objective of the month of Ramadan, which was to develop the capability and the ability to stay away from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, if that is not achieved, then yes, we may have made a lot of tilawat of the Quran Sharif, we may have made lots of zikrullah, but we've defeated the very purpose and the objective of the month of Ramadan, which was to stay away from sins. So this is the priority, respected elders and brothers, staying away from every sin. And sometimes people say, but Mawlana, you know, I'm making so much of tilawat of the Quran Sharif, you know, I'm making so much of sacrifices for deen, but why is it that I'm still not experiencing that tranquility? Why is it that I'm still so restless? Most of the time, respected elders and brothers, it is because we have not given up sins from our lives. There is still some sins that we are holding on to. We've had recently very hot days, but, you know, we can take example from that, but on a hot day, generally, these air cons are a blessing. The person can't survive without the air con. So there was one particular senior alim, he was traveling in the Arab Peninsula, it was about 49, 50 degrees heat. And so the driver was driving the vehicle, and somebody in the front remarked, it was actually Shah Abraham Al-Haqsab, he said that, isn't the air conditioner on because we're not feeling cool in the car? So the driver said, no, the aircon is on, but maybe somebody's window is open. So when they looked behind, they saw that one of the passengers, his window was slightly open. So what was happening is the hot air from outside, 45, 49, 50 degree heat, that heat was coming inside and it was, you know, countering the effect of the aircon. So as soon as they closed the window, mashallah, the car became cooling. So Hazrat said that we taken a lesson from this, that the air conditioner was working, but the window of sins was open. In our life, sometimes it is sins through our eyes, sometimes it is sins through our ears. So the person is making the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, the person is fasting during the day, the person is giving his charity, he's doing all of those things, but unfortunately he's still abusing his wife. Unfortunately he hasn't stopped, you know, using swear words and being vulgar. Unfortunately he's still, you know, being harsh and hard to his staff. Unfortunately the person has still not controlled his temper. He's still losing his temper, you know, with his wife and his children. Unfortunately the person is still not, you know, fulfilling his word. There are people that he's owing money, but he's not willing to pay them. But mashallah, the person is making a lot of tilawat of the Quran Sharif. So the tilawat of the Quran Sharif is generating nur, it's working. But because of the sins that he is still involved in during the month of Ramadan, he's not really feeling that effect, that real sukoon. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, we have to make a sacrifice. We have to go a little extra. Allama Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi Alayhi gives the example of a worm. He says this worm was traveling, or rather this worm was spending its life on rotting leaves. It used to consume these rotting leaves, and it carried on past its days like that. So somebody, a fellow worm, mentioned to this worm that, listen, there is a vineyard where you will find the grapevine. And on this grapevine, you will find a juicy grape. When you taste this juicy grape, you'll forget this. You'll forget this rotting leaf. So now this worm, it became very, very desirous. A lot of enthusiasm and zeal, and it took on this arduous journey to find this vineyard. Finally it reached the vineyard. It climbed up the first grapevine, and as it climbed up this first grapevine, it came to the first set of leaves. So unfortunately this worm thought that these leaves was the grape itself. So it began tasting the leaf, and obviously, you know, it was an upgrade from rotting leaves to the leaf of a vineyard, of a grapevine, was a big upgrade. So this worm thought that this leaf was actually the juicy grape. And it spent the rest of its life consuming the leaves there and finally died. So Allama Jalaluddin Umi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, oh servant of Allah, in this life of sin, sometimes we think that we are enjoying life by, you know, engaging in these sins, and we think, you know, it's fine, everything is fine, I'm having fun, everything is going well. But the reality is, if we leave this life of sin, we move away, and we make a little more effort and sacrifice, giving up that sin, rising a little higher, and we get a taste of the sweetness of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get a taste of the sweetness of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get a taste of the sweetness of the happiness of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, respected elders and brothers, we will forget all the enjoyment of this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that himmat, give us that courage in this month of Ramadan. And Allah is proving to us in this month of Ramadan that you have the ability. This taqwa is not only for a certain category of people. Taqwa is for each and every one of us. If you could stay away from food and drink, from that which was halal, then why is it difficult to stay away from that which is haram? This is a fallacy, a deception of shaitan, that if you're going to give up sin, your life is going to become very, very boring. In fact, the opposite is true. That when a person gives up a life of sin, Allah will give you such inner peace within your heart, such happiness, that the wealthiest people of the world, with all their pomp and joy and entertainment, those who are disbelievers, they don't even have a slightest clue as to what peace and tranquility Allah Ta'ala will bless you with in your heart. May Allah Ta'ala grant me and all of us that sukoon and that tranquility. May Allah make us of those fortunate ones that appreciates this opportunity of the month of Ramadan. As I said in the introduction, we were making dua that Allah bless us with this month of Ramadan. Now that Allah has given us this, we have to, by way of our actions, show our appreciation for this month of Ramadan. And our appreciation will be, number one, giving up of sins. Greatest appreciation of the month of Ramadan is that we give up every sin. And sometimes we say, but Mawlana, that one sin to give up is very hard. That one sin, again, example, I'll terminate on this, Allama al-Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah, he says a person had 100 thorns stuck in his body. And so he started removing all these thorns, and every time he removed a thorn, he felt some kind of comfort. But there was one thorn left, and he said, you know, this thorn here, I'm very addicted to it. This has got sentimental value. I can't give up this thorn. This one thorn I'm going to keep in my body. So Allama Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah, he says that until and unless this person doesn't remove that last thorn, he's never going to get true comfort. In the same way, until and unless we don't give up every sin, we are not really going to get that sukoon. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with that himmat and that courage to give up every sin from our life. And remember, the time to change is now, because tomorrow could be too late. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب